Blog Talk Radio.
Delicious Talk Radio, your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. And as you know, our shows are for the mature listener audience only. We discuss sex and other social topics here, topics we don't discuss are religion and politics. We also have the most fascinating guests in our studio. And if you're listening to this show and you're not age appropriate, we will not be responsible for our guests or conversations that may influence you. And I hope everybody's having a beautiful evening this evening, because I certainly am. All right, let's get this show on the road. We have a very special guest this evening. But first, I'd like to bring in my co-host and my guest co-host. Good evening, ladies, Terry and
good
Jade.
Evening,
how you girls doing?
Good.
Hello.
Good. You girls ready for this show this evening? You ladies, I'm sorry. You ready for this show this evening?
Yes, I am.
I really am interested. I need to know some information so I can know, you know. Well, right now I'm married, you know, so. But if it ever happens that I do get remarried, I want to know why I should get married.
Right. To a Jewish man. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to give a little bit of information about our guest this evening. Her name is Dr. Nazaree Hines. She's an educated professional woman living and working as a pharmacist in Annapolis, Maryland, with her Jewish husband, Michael, and their young son, Hayden. Nazaree received her undergraduate degree from Ohio State University and her doctoral in pharmacy from Howard University School of Pharmacy. Nazaree states her book is for all women looking for the perfect alpha male. After dating solely within her own race and religion throughout college, graduate school, and the whole of her 20s, Nazaree experienced an accumulation of what she refers to in her conversational memoir as her scumbag files. Feeling disappointed in African American men and still searching for Mr. Right, Nasri finally decided to cast a wider net, opening herself up to men of all races and religions. She joined interracial dating website AfroRomance.com, where she met Michael, a professional never married Jewish man who was 2 years her junior. In Why Every Black Woman Should Marry a Jewish Man, Nazaré Hines' star chronicles her intimate, tumultuous, and eye-opening journey that led her finding her Jewish prince charming. With a tongue-in-cheek in her book title, Why It's Time to Date a Dip in the Snow, some of Nazaré's theories break down to hard, cold statistics, citing, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, there were 1.8 million more black women than black men in 2000, and that number has not improved since then. That means that if every black man in America married a black woman today, many women hoping to marry a black man would not make it down the aisles. Okay, without further ado, we're going to bring in Nazaré.
Thank you for having me.
Good evening, Nazaré. How you doing, darling?
Good evening. I'm great.
Hello,
okay.
Dr. Hines.
Oh, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. Okay, first of all, you had mentioned, you know, you have your fill of black men. How many black men did you date before you decided that you wanted to date men of a different race?
Well, I started pretty much in I didn't start dating until college. So, I mean, if I had to give you a number, I'd say maybe 15 to 16.
15 or 16 black men, and that made your decision.
Yes.
That you wanted to. I mean, were all of them scumbags that you had described? Or, you know, what was the issue with, you know, those 15 or 16 black men? Or was it all of them that you had issues with?
Well, they all had an issue. But, I mean, they weren't all, I wouldn't say completely scumbags. And the scumbag title is there mostly for shock value.
Okay.
But, you know, they were all failed relationships. So, I mean, I guess I could have entitled it failed relationships. But, but I put the scumbag file there just for, just to give it a little zing.
Well, it worked.
Okay. So, 15 men. Because I've often wondered, because I also hear where black men say the reason why they crossed over was because black women are this, black women aren't that, black women this, blah, 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 blah. So this is my reason for asking how many, because there is so many black women, and, like, there is a shortage of black men, but there are a wide variety of black men to choose from. Do you think maybe you may have had something to do with the failure in any of these relationships?
Not really. No, I don't think so. Because I did try a variety of personality types.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was outgoing. There were a few more outgoing guys. There were guys that I thought that were, they seemed to be more relationship orientated. Then I tried, there were guys that were, seemed to be on the same track as I was as far as education, but then I dated some that were not going in that direction. I mean, I think I did, date a wide variety. You know, I didn't just date like one type of guy, which I mean, we do that a lot, but I tried to I did try to expand my reach a little bit as far as just, you know, personality and relationships, whether they wanted a family, that type of thing. But it still didn't work out.
Okay, so what made you gravitate towards a Jewish man? Why not a Baptist man, a Catholic man, or you know, what made you gravitate towards a Jewish man?
Well, at the time, it wasn't just specifically a Jewish man. At the time, it was just, you know, I just thought I was going to just look and see what else, you know, might be out there for me.
Mm-hmm.
But then over time, when I got to know my husband's family and I had more, you know, interaction with the community, then that's when I started to see more things about how they raise their children and the community involvement and that sort of thing.
So it's not possible that the way that a Jewish man raises his family, that a black man couldn't do the same without being a Jew, or, you know, because I'm really trying to understand. It seems like, you know, men are put in this category, that category. I won't use the word stereotype, but somewhere where you have said Jewish men attend and graduate from college. Jewish men at least attempt to marry before making babies. Jewish men are great with financial planning and stability. I can see these things happening in some of black men as well as white men, Asian men, and other men. So
but
I'm just trying to...
I understand what you're saying, but I think part of it also is that there's a generational issue as well. And because maybe it's just today's, you know, if you compare today's trends versus the 70s and 60s, our communities look a lot alike, the Jewish community and the African American community, but we don't. That's not that way today. So I think, you know, if you were to look back, you know, say maybe the 70s, African American men did have those qualities, but it's just not that way today. As far as, you know, if you're looking at statistics, and I'm not saying that there's none, you know, I'm not saying that at all, but I'm just saying as far as the numbers and statistics, you know, there's
that was hard to come
that,
by.
That's what I'm looking at.
So what you're saying is those black men no longer exist, or they're extinct, or there's a shortage of them, or, you know, because...
Well, my choice is, had I been willing to date someone maybe 10 years older than me, then I probably could have found an African-American man. I probably could have found what I was looking for. But for the age range, for my age range, and, you know, what I was looking for, the numbers just were not there for me, where I could have probably found someone in you know, to start a family with. And then the other option, I could have just stuck it out and waited longer, but then I probably wouldn't have been able to start my family. mm-hmm. because I just turned 42
mm-hmm.
this year.
So
now,
go on, Jade. Go on.
With your belief or your experience in you talking to other black women regarding your experience and how you feel that, you know, every black woman, what your title basically says, you know, that every black woman should marry a Jewish man. Does that encourage, like, have you encouraged a lot of women to do so?
Well, I mean, I think that people, it's a shocking title. And, I mean, I guess I could have picked a different title. But, I mean, I've got, most of the feedback that I've gotten has been very negative, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
People don't like the idea of, I guess maybe it's, I don't know if it's the interracial dating.
I think that it may be the interracial. It may be the interracial, but I think that, because one of my questions was going to be, how does the Jewish population feel about that, or those that may run across your book? And the only reason I say that is because from the experience that I've had with the Jewish community, they feel like they should stick together, your religion should be there. So that was going to be my next question, and then I have a follow-up question. I do apologize.
Well, I mean, in general, I've gotten a positive feedback from the Jewish communities.
I think I have a little different spin on that, Dr. Hines.
Okay.
I have a different spin on this whole situation. I'm in a situation where my sister-in-law happens to be Jewish, and I love her dearly, and my brother, of course, is black. So he married a Jewish woman, and it wasn't that he went out looking for one, because he was married to a black woman and had three grown children for years.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother was the type of person, when we went to high school and we were coming up, we went to an all-white, predominantly white school, and he was very popular with everybody. He never looked to one race or the other race or anything. He was just that type of person that he can deal with anyone. And it just happened that he was married to a black woman for many years. And when they got divorced, he just happened to meet my sister-in-law. And it really wasn't, oh, I'm looking for a Jewish woman, or I'm looking for this one. But my thing is, he found her because he loved her. And I met her parents, I met her sister, I met her her other relatives, aunts, and I tell you, they were the funniest, most down-to-earth people I have ever met. And I didn't even look at them as Jewish. I just looked at them as people. And so I've had a very good experience with So her part of the Jewish, you know,
mm-hmm.
Family. I had a ball with them. And so he didn't go out looking for one. He just happened to meet her, and that's how it happened.
Wow. Okay, Jane, did you have another? Go on.
Okay, go ahead.
So did you want to answer Terry's remark, or?
I haven't had any issues with the Jewish community. I don't know. They think it's great, and Michael's family has been very loving. So you know, the extended family, the friends are the same. So I'm not really sure Are you saying that was I specifically looking for a Jewish man?
I think that she was just giving you her experience with it.
Mm-hmm. No, I wasn't saying that, Dr. Hines. I was just saying I have an experience with a Jewish family myself, but it's turned around instead of, black, you know, my brother's black and she's Jewish. So it's like the other way around. It could say, you know, every black man should marry a Jewish girl. You know, that's basically what it is. But I've had nothing but positiveness from her and her family. And I never had any problems whatsoever, and neither has my brother. So, you know, I think it's whoever you love and whoever, you know, fits your need. You know.
I agree. I agree.
Right. Mm. Well, Jay, did you have another question for Nazareth?
Yeah, I did. I don't know if I'm asking this prematurely into the show, but what I wanted to ask was, have you converted over to Jewish or, I'm sorry?
No, I said good question.
No, I have not. And my husband's family are Reformed. They're not Orthodox.
Orthodox, right.
So,
okay.
What's the difference?
Well, the Orthodox religion is... They're a bit more strict than the other some of the other.
Oh, okay. So it's different.
Right. So
I understand.
And his mother was actually raised Orthodox, but his father was raised Reformed. So they decided when they got married that they would raise their family Reformed.
Mm.
So my husband's family are Reformed. So they follow most of the, you know, they follow the High Holy Days, and but they don't, there's some religious traditions that Orthodox Jews follow, you know, daily and weekly, but they do not. So, and then, you know, I guess, and then, so, I mean, they're more open to dating other, you know, other people of different religions. And actually, he has two brothers, and they all married Christian women. So, this past holiday season, we all celebrated Hanukkah and Christmas.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to convert to his religion?
No. Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, okay, because I thought that once you, whatever your husband was, that's the religion you had to convert to. Maybe that's, I don't know, but I'm not into
religion. It may be
religion.
For Orthodox. It may be
Orthodox.
Oh, for the Orthodox, you had to convert.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I remember we went to New York to visit my daughter, and my brother and Susan came from California, and we took a ride into Manhattan. We were just looking around, and there was a whole section of Jewish people. And I tell you, Susan was really, she was really blasted out. She couldn't believe it. And we were going down these streets, and they had the men with the big hats and the beards and the black clothing, and certain blocks look a certain way. And she was learning herself. She couldn't believe it because she's not Orthodox.
Wow. Right, yeah.
It was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Well, I see that... I'm sorry, I forgot what I was going to say that quick. But anyway, let's get on with this. Also, you had mentioned that Jewish males don't take everything as a challenge to their masculinity. I think that can go across the board, or what was the meaning of that? Because what I'm saying is, this is just my thinking, and nobody has to agree with it, but I think there are different kinds of people that fit certain categories. You can be a Jew or whatever, black, white, whatever, you know. So this is my reasoning for asking these questions. It may, you know, be seem kind of crazy, but I'm just, you know, that's just how I'm taking it.
Well, that section of the book was mainly directed at, you know, some black men who have issues with professional women. So I haven't heard women who are non-professional necessarily complain about that issue. So, that's what I was referring to in that section.
Okay, and you also said, if he doesn't call when he said he would call, just assume he's a liar. But couldn't you just maybe say, well, maybe something came up, or, you know, give him a chance, because something could have came up. You know, he could have lost his phone or worked overtime or did something. You know, you just can't assume that a person is a liar. Now, if he says it over, if he said this a few times, I'm going to call you and never call, then, yeah, he is a liar. Is that what you were saying, or just if he tells you, like you meet a guy yesterday and you said, and he says, I'm going to call you tomorrow, and he doesn't call, are you to assume that he's a liar?
Well, you know, there's advice in the book that's really general. It's not just for, you know, it's not just referring to African American men.
No,
and,
I know, I could already
and,
said that.
And this, but you know, a lot. It's some of it is just there for as a writer. You want to make it. You want the words to pop. You want your reader
right.
to you know, it's a lot of, it's not, some of it I think is not intended to be
not literal.
Oh, okay, because you also have put, don't waste your time trying to figure out what's going on. Just move on and then go find a Jewish guy to date.
Right.
Okay.
The book is peppered with a lot of dating advice, general and, you know, dating advice. So, but you know, I tried to make it an enjoyable read, an easy,
right,
enjoyable read.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, as I had mentioned that, you know, men are men, and you have men in this category that can go right along with the same things that a Jewish man does, as well as a black man, Asian, or whatever, you know, type of man is. But, you know, the interesting thing about your book is solely to put out there that, you know, every black woman should marry a Jewish man, and I'm trying to.
I don't know if you get. The book has a disclaimer, I do explain a little bit about the book's my intention for the book, and why it was written in a controversial manner. A lot of it is I wanted to start a meaningful conversation about the deterioration of the black family and the low marriage rates in our community, and why today we have 70% of our kids are living in a single parent household.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to, and it was reversed in the 70s and 60s. So a lot of the, I mean, that was my main intention. My main intention was to spark a conversation.
Mhm. Oh, okay. Well, you most certainly did. But right now, we're going to take a little break. And I see you on the line, Rhea. Welcome, darling. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back in a few.
You're listening to Bringing Sexy Back, right here on Delicious Talk Radio. There is no religion or politics spoken here, only delicious adult conversation. Audience participation is encouraged, so log in and create an account to engage in conversation in our chat room. Feel free to call in with your questions and comments at 646-652-2877. That's 646-652-2877. And let's get this delicious talk conversation going.
In the Supremes, way back in the day, baby, where did our love go? I just love those old songs to death because I'm from the old school, and if don't nobody like it, I'm sorry. Okay, well, we'll be right back here with our guest, Dr. Nazare Hines, who is a pharmacist, and she also is the author of a book, Why Every Black Woman Should Marry a Jewish Man. And if anybody has any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. Again, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. All right, so we're going to get right back into the conversation with Dr. Nazare as far as, you know, why every black woman should marry a Jewish man. Now, I don't really, you know, see anything wrong with, you know, what race a woman or what religion a woman wants to marry, you know, but to, and then I guess, you know, now I'm leaning on the fact that your book is more or less, let's see if I can find a word for it. It's not really a guide to book or telling, giving instruction book. It's more or less for reading enjoyment, because the things I see, you know, as far as like Jewish men, any man could do or be a Jewish man in their mind, because the things that, you know, Jewish men do reverts to any race of a man. Am I right to say that, Nazare?
Mm-hmm. It's possible.
It's possible?
It's possible. I mean, I could have said why every black woman should marry a family guy, but nobody mm-hmm. would want to read that.
So, well, okay, I can understand your, you know, you making the title up to get attention, but, you know, when some people, you know, because like you had mentioned in the beginning that you got quite a bit of negative reviews from the book, you know, and I'm going to say maybe it was from a lot of black women who maybe were angry, or maybe some black men who were angry, or somebody was angry, you know. So I can, you know, understand you, you know, you putting that title out there like that, but it's just some people are sensitive to the fact of, you know, when it's taken from one particular race or religion and then saying you should do this with this particular religion or you should do this with this particular race, you know, people become sensitive behind things like that. So
I understand that. It's offensive, and it's supposed to be offensive because we're supposed to be talking about
not
these
offensive,
statistics.
Sensitive. I said they become sensitive. To, you know.
Yeah, they become sensitive because the book can be offensive.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Controversial. It can be mm-hmm. offensive. It's shocking. But that's why I wrote it.
So
we
you wrote the book. You wrote the
30,
book for shock value.
Yes, 70% of our children living in single parent households. It's way too high, and our children deserve better than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is true. That is true. And the reasoning for that is, and also, black. There are more black women than there are black men, and they're getting. Black men are becoming extinct. Every day they're either being killed by the police or, you know, killed in disputes and, you know, all these crazy things are going on. There's always been more black women than black men. And, you know, some black women don't want to gravitate to marrying somebody outside of their race or outside of their religion or whatever. So this makes it why some black women are not married, and they throw out there, well, black women are not married because they're too this, they're too that, they want this, they want that. Now, myself,
but in
the 70s, reason.
Okay, go ahead.
No, go on. Well, I also just want
I mean,
to quickly.
We just didn't have that.
In the 70s?
Yeah, the 60s and 70s, we had, the statistic was reversed. Most of our kids were in two-parent households.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. That is true. I do remember that because I mm-hmm. come from a two-parent
yeah.
household.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
And you also had a lot more women who were suffering abuse and silence.
That are doing what, hon?
Got a lot more women who are suffering abuse in silence.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, that is true. But, you know, I understand, you know, times have changed. People have changed and things have changed. And, you know, a lot of people are going with those changes. Myself, I think I'm still stuck in the 60s and the 70s, you know, because that's how I was brought up. I was a 50s baby. Well, I was born in 1949. And, you know, things that I learned from that era are still with me. I still say yes, sir,
yeah.
No, sir, yes, ma'am,
mm-hmm.
Thank you, please, and all those sorts of things. And I, you know, brought my children up to do the same thing. Now, they're grown, and if they're not doing that now, they did it when they was young. So
mm-hmm.
I did
I'm
my
not,
job.
I'm not advocating that people stay in bad relationships, but, well, even in the cases where the parents cannot stay together, they can still co-parent.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't have enough of that. Yeah, people make choices and it doesn't always work out. But the kids shouldn't have to suffer.
That's true.
Well,
that
I lived
true.
in a two-family situation. I mean, a mother and a father. The only reason why my mother became single is because my father passed away. But coming up as a young child, we had parents, both mother and father, that worked every day, and each one of them went to work, and we went to school, and our parents brought us up the best that they could. But, you know, when my father passed away, that made my mother single. So there's a lot of different reasons why there are single women.
Right.
But widow situations are uniquely different because usually those children are surrounded by loving family members.
Yes.
That wasn't a situation where someone intentionally walked away.
Right.
So those are not those
but you
are
have
not
to
cases
put those
that
in.
That's not that well I mean I do discuss that in the introduction. I'm talking about cases where people intentionally walk away. And
Yeah. Just
because you walk away from that person doesn't mean that you should walk away from your child.
That's right.
And kids today can understand that. They can understand a lot more than we think.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think, you know, you could explain to them that, you know, mommy and daddy we're not going to be together anymore, but we still love you.
Mhm.
But you also have the parents that they separate, and they separate angrily, so the children become pawns. I don't, you know, you don't come to my house no more. You're not going to see your kids anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You
and
know, those
wrong.
Are the sorts of things that happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's
mm-hmm.
not right for the kid because
no. If
you're separated from your husband and you have children by him, your children should not be separated. They should not become pawns in your relationship or your anger and your bitterness. They should still be able to be co-parent. You know, you spend the weekend with your father this weekend, or we get together, take you out to lunch, and, you know, different things like that. And children are not seeing that. That's why we had these rebellious children growing up.
Well, that's the immaturity of the parents, because that shouldn't even be at all. I mean, angry about what? I mean,
Yeah. You
don't use your children because you're angry. It could be something that can be worked out. I mean, for myself, I was divorced from my daughter's father when she was a young girl, wasn't even in grade school, and my daughter's 44 now, and she still sees her dad on a regular basis. Not only that, he was living with her. And he never and he had another he had married and has another daughter, and they're all very close. He has never ever put my daughter down. When we divorced many years ago, he stayed in my daughter's life.
And that's what everyone
should
do. And that's what everyone should do.
Everybody doesn't make the choice, though. They walk away, and that's it. And that damages the child. And you'd be surprised how many children who are adults now have things inside of them that nobody knows about because of what parents do.
Yeah. That is true. That is certainly true. So you have to be very careful when you go through a separation, divorce, or whatever.
Yes.
You know, because children are involved. If children aren't involved, it's a different story. But when you have children involved, you have to think about their future, what type of citizen you want them to be, and how you want them to grow up. Because you have a lot of these kids growing up full of anger and bitterness, and, you know, they're becoming bullies and, you know, doing all sorts of things simply because their mother and father are separating. They're not seeing their father like they should, or the father has them and the mother's not seeing them. Yeah. Yeah, never, ever pit children against one another. And my children's father, my daughter's father, didn't claim her until she was 12 years old. But during those 12 years, not once did I tell her, you know, how her father was an alcoholic. But I never said anything bad about him, or, you know, tried to make her dislike him or anything like that, because, number one, anything that children need to know about their parents, they are going to learn it if they're separated from them, because my son learned how his father was worse than my daughter's father. My daughter's father is dead. May he continue to rest in peace. But my son's father, he was just, oh, my goodness. Sometimes I don't really like to talk about him, because he was really never in my son's life. My son was basically brought up by my brother, you know, and other male figures in the family. Thank God for them, because women, you cannot raise a man. Simple as that. You can give them all the love you can. You can tell them this and tell them, but they need those male figures in their life just as well as little girls need female figures in their life and the male figure. I mean, parents need to be in their children's lives so they can learn different things, so a young boy can learn how to treat women when he grows. He sees his father treating his mother like the queen that she is. That's how he's going to treat the women that he get with. And a girl sees her mother treating her father like a king. That's the type of men that she's going to get. But if you seeing your mother and father fighting, fussing, and arguing all the time, those are the type of relationships you're going to end up getting into, you know. And then sometimes you may just be looking for love in all the wrong places when you grow up, because you never had that from home, you know. So a lot of these parents that are having children, it's just, you know, you better be careful. And if you don't want to have children, if there are any men out there listening or women listening, and the woman tells you she's on birth control, you be on birth control too. Wrap that willy, don't be silly, you know, because there are two things that can happen when you have intercourse unprotected. That's one, you can get a woman pregnant, or two, you can get an STD. So, you know, if you want to go that route, then, you know, more power to you. But so getting back to it, I also read where you said something about, like Steve Harvey's Act Like a Man, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, and Tyrese Gibson and Reverend Run's tomb, Manology. Well, you see a fundamental flaw in those philosophies as they pertain to helping single women. We want to put all the fault on black women and women in general instead of trying to correct the behavior of some men. If the advice was more even-handed, it would make sense. Okay, can you sort of elaborate on that?
Well, those two books are pretty much just advice telling black women what to change about themselves. That's That's what I was saying. It's just what we should change so that we can, you know, we can find a man, get a man, you know, the end goal. But I think a lot of times you need to, it's got to be, it's more than just one-sided. Yes, people make, we make some bad decisions when we're dating, but you also have to look at the dating pool that we're faced with. And that's what I was, that, and that's what I'm saying. It's a combination. And those books, usually it's all our fault. It's just black women. It's all of our fault.
Mm-hmm. So there's a thing, because I haven't read Steve Harvey's book, nor have I read Run DMC's book. But my thing with reading any of those books, because number one man cannot say how every woman should be, because every woman is not going to be the same regardless. But, you know, it's entertaining, and there may be some things that you can walk away from in that book. For instance, the 90-day rule. I don't specifically, and I'm only speaking for myself from that, I don't believe in the 90-day rule because, number one, what's 90 days? If a man really wants you and you really want to be with that man, who's to say the same night you meet him and you go home and be with him and then a couple of weeks from there he proposes to you opposed
that
to waiting 90 days, huh?
And opposed to me.
Right,
second
opposed
husband, that's what happened.
Right, opposed to waiting 90 days. You wait these 90 days, and during those 90 days, you don't know what he's out there doing. You see what I'm saying? But
mm-hmm.
you're waiting the 90 days, and when he gets with
mm-hmm.
you, and then he figures,
mm-hmm.
to, well, she's not the one I want to be with because I've been with this one while I was waiting to be with her, so I'm going to be with the other one. So, therefore, my thing is if I see someone that I am attracted to, and if I'm feeling that person the way they are feeling me on a first date, and if I feel like I want to have sex with them just because, that's what I'm going to do. But if it's a thing where we're talking and I feel that he's feeling me, we're feeling each other, and I know something can come from it, I just, you know, do what you do. That's just my take on it. Now, you got the women who wait 90 days or wait 90 years, but I just... you know, and I heard there was some other things in the book that he put down that people were non-compliance with and, you know, didn't agree with, but that's coming from Steve Harvey's point of view. And just like you mentioned, Reverend Run's book, you know, but I understand Steve Harvey writing a book because he's experienced things as far as, like, going through divorce and, you know, being a cheater and, you know, all those types of things. And then, you know, put it in a book out there for somebody else maybe to warn them or give them some advice how not to make the mistakes that he made or whatever. But my thing is, you know, most of those books are solely for entertainment. And, you know, if you want to walk away and take something from that book, you know, it's all good, too.
And, you know, I just want to say on a personal note, in general, some of his advice makes some sense.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
and but, you know, I think, I don't know if you know that he runs a camp.
Right.
And
yes.
It teaches young boys about manhood, and I think
mm-hmm.
That's an excellent step in the you know, in the right direction. I think, you know, more celebrities and community organizations need to do more of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should, but, you know, they're more into themselves. And I do commend Steve Harvey for some of the things that he does do because, you know, as far as, like, helping raise young men who come from single families, or, you know, helping a young lady to make the right decision and the path to take as far as like how to dress or, you know, how to present herself, you know, when in the presence of a man. But, you know, it's just so many other books out here just mm-hmm. saying do this, don't do that, do this, do this. And, you know, a person's going to make up their own mind anyway what they're going to do. Because I'm getting ready to put a book out titled The Scent of a Man, and it's not a how-to book, instructional book. It's simply a book for people to read for their entertainment and enjoyment. And the book is about, because women are always saying that there are no more good men out here, and there are good men out here. It's just that women are not taking the time to seek them out. You know, they want everything like yesterday, microwavable, quick, fast, and in a hurry. You know, they don't want to take the time to go to the places to meet these good men, because there are good men out here. They definitely are. And I know of places where you can meet them. That's going to be in the book as well. But I'm not putting that book out there for anybody to read and say, oh, okay, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, it's going to be a disclaimer in the book as well, you know, but there is going to be some information in there that they can use, because I'm going to put some things in a book that I haven't really seen in a book like the book that I'm getting ready to put out. Okay. Something else you state. Jewish men are open wide instead of down low. What do you mean by that?
That was just addressing a down low problem in our community.
Mm-hmm.
I think when if our community was giving that population more support, then perhaps we, you know, wouldn't have that issue. And that's been just what I've found through research and, you know, talking to people. That's been my observation. And that's
okay.
more of a criticism of our community rather than black men, I would say.
Okay, so do you mean the down low as far as like men dating men undercover? Is that what, was that what you meant by that, or did I misinterpret something here?
The down low phenomenon is where men they pretend that they are straight,
mm-hmm.
and so they're dating. You know, they're dating as if they were straight,
mm-hmm.
and but they're really not straight. So, a lot of them do that because they say they don't, the community, they don't get support in their community. They can't come out to their family members. You know, there's no support in their churches. You know, it's a lot of, so they feel like that doing this down low, that's you know, they're kind of forced to do that.
So are there any Jewish men who are on the down low?
Well, I mean, I can imagine that there probably are, but they haven't, you know, said that they have that issue in their community. So maybe
mm-hmm.
not to the extent that it's, you know, becoming a big issue. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, in our community, they're saying that, you know, women are complaining because men are, you know, a lot of married women have been infected with HIV because
right.
of due to this, you know, the download phenomenon has contributed to that. So, there probably are, but you know, they've decided, the Jewish community has decided that they're going to, you know, there's going to be some support for their members from that community. So I'm just saying that I think in general, we just need
mm-hmm.
to do a little better job with you know, giving them support. And I mean, I guess the book as a whole, there's a lot of criticism. And as a community, we're not good at taking criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Every time someone gives criticism, they are thrown under the bus. I don't know. And I kind of expected to be thrown under the bus. But, because that's usually what happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, the criticism comes in because women probably are looking to, you know, because the way you have the book set up, you know, you're going on with this Jewish men. And, you know, like I said, when women, black, white, whatever, you know, may have been sensitive to the fact, well, you know, like you had also mentioned, you could have maybe titled it How to Marry a Family Man, you know, then that's, you know, everybody would, oh, well, okay, this is good, family man, this, blah, 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 blah. But when you put the controversial part in there, Jewish men, you know, I guess you were expecting to get the criticism, were you or were you not?
I was expecting a criticism, but I thought that at least people would see beyond that and kind of get to where, you know, why, I mean, no one seems to really care about the statistics, about issues in our community. No one
you're speaking
seems to
of
care.
In our community. What community are you speaking? Because you
the
keep African saying in our
American
community. Oh, okay. I thought you were speaking of the Jewish community. Oh, okay.
Because I feel like, I think, you know, I've become enamored with the Jewish community as much as I have, because it reminds me of the community that I grew up, you know, that I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sad to see what, you know, what it's become, and, you know, that we're not really, it's very scary. Because I don't even really see we have groups, but they're not focused on, you know, the issues that really matter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, and I know people are concerned, and a lot of things are said about the youth they're lost, and, you know, and they're dysfunctional, and but no one thinks about why. They don't think about why. We haven't prepared them, and you can't expect, you know, good, like you said earlier about kids growing up in those type of environments, it's very difficult to you know, to come out into the world and be, you know, a functional, you know, it's difficult to overcome
right.
that kind of stuff. So, but I just don't see, I don't see, like, our leaders trying to correct any of that. You know, I don't see an agenda. I don't see, you know, I don't see a push. I don't know. If anyone can tell me, I would like to know. But
if anyone can what?
Because I'm just, I don't understand why we're not seeing that. We have groups. We have the NAACP. We have the Urban League. We have leaders, but I don't see an agenda. I don't see a plan. I don't see action.
Mm-hmm.
But I do often hear a lot of complaints about the youth of today.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there's definitely a lot because society, the media, you know, all these different things has influenced the youth to the point where they are no longer in tune with reality, some of them. So once they go that route, you know, it's a whole different story. They think they're invincible. They think they can do what they want to do and there's no consequences. And, you know, at one point, our children were brought up and they were raised by a village of people, you know, because I can remember coming up and how if I did something wrong and a neighbor saw it, they would actually
mm-hmm.
give me a spanking or
mm-hmm.
they would tell my mother and my mother would
mm-hmm.
correct it right then and there. Nowadays, the villages are either jail, the graveyard, or hanging with
block.
The gang. You know, those
mm-hmm.
are the villages that they're gravitating to now. And what needs to be done is we need to get these old-time values back into place, you know, where
mm-hmm.
they telling a child to call the police if your mother
mm-hmm.
beats you. No, we got beat down, and if I called the police on my mother, I'd probably be dead right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the same with my children.
And it wasn't abused.
Right. It wasn't
right.
abused.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't abused.
Right.
But, you know, just the point of if I'm chastising my
mm-hmm.
child and the police is called, oh, no. Two things are going to happen when the police come. Either when they get there, they're going to take my kids and they're going to raise them.
And feed them.
Or when they get there, somebody's going to be dead. Because I'm not going to bring a child up in my household, feed, clothe, you know, take care of them, look out for their best interest, and as soon as I take their cell phone from them,
mm-hmm.
they want to say they hate me, punch holes in the walls, and I'm not supposed
mm-hmm.
to do anything about that? I think not. But, you know, it's a shame that it's going that way, but it's just all this technology and the media and things that have changed these children of today. And a lot of them are getting killed simply because of how they carry themselves now.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, nobody deserves to be killed for some of the things that some of these kids were
mm-hmm.
killed for. But why do you put yourself in that predicament in the first
mm-hmm.
place? Don't go in a store and steal something and think you're going to bark at the police and then
mm-hmm.
lunge at them and they're not going to, you know, take action
mm-hmm.
because, number one, that's what they was trained to do. Then some of them go to work mad, and that's what they want to do. So
mm-hmm.
you go in the store, pay for your stuff, and go home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be confrontational to the police. You already
mm-hmm.
know that most of them have an attitude of them. Most of them
yep.
don't like young black men. So, yes, sir, no, sir. You know, But you put yourself in these predicaments and you get killed. Then they want to be marching here, marching there, doing this and that. And it's, I don't care how much marching you do, it's not going to bring that person back. Let it go. Rest in peace. Pass the lesson on to the next person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if a child doesn't want to listen to their parents, then you are turned over to the government. And the government will bring you up, but not in the way that your parents will. Because once you're locked up, you're somebody else's girlfriend when you go in there. You're going to come out more angry than what you went in there for, because they don't rehabilitate you in jails like they used to. You go to jail basically to do time, and that's what you do. So my thing, if there's anybody on here that's 18 or however old y'all listen to this show, you need to, you know, change your way of living. Start thinking about your future, because you're going to, well, you may not even live to get old, but if you want to live to get old, you need to change your lifestyle. You know, if you dropped out of school, go back to school, take up a trade, or, you know, do something with your life, because tomorrow's not promised to anybody. And the way these policemen are going around shooting these young men for no reason, you better be careful.
And I wanted to say something about the marching and saying that Black Lives Matter. I think I think somewhere along the line, this movement has lost credibility because they're forgetting, or maybe some of them aren't mentioning Black on Black crime. There's others, you know. There's others, and other violence,
abuse.
That's not mentioned. Because if we're going to say that Black Lives Matter, then it's all Black Lives Matter.
Right. And then the fact of the matter is, they complain about black-on-black crime. There's white-on-white crime, Asian-on-Asian crime. I think it's a thing across the board, but blacks are called out simply because that's just the way it is. Because I know that I see on television and hear more in the news how white people are killing their whole families, killing their wives, killing the pets. But they don't say white-on-white crime.
Right.
But, you know, it's crime is crime. Crime is not prejudice. Crime has no color. Crime is crime. So for them to single out black-on-black crime, sure, there is black-on-black crime, just like there's white-on-white crime.
I'm not singling it out, but I'm saying...
No, I'm not saying that you're singling it out, neither.
Itself,
but I'm just saying that's how it's been, singled out. They say the white-on-white, black-on-black crime. Why ain't they saying something about the black-on-black crime? They're killing each other. White people are doing the same thing. So are Asians, you know, but it's just brought up so much about blacks doing it because of the simple fact. We're an extinct race, you know, so,
I would like to see the movement have some... You know, I just think that if it would be taken more seriously, because you have to present for someone to just say Black Lives Matter, but then and they're talking about police brutality but they don't mention other things that happen, then it kind of makes it look kind of hypocritical, because you're only mentioning one dimension.
Right. That's because they always bring up the fact about black on black crime. So therefore, that's why it's like that. If you would say white on white crime, it'd probably be the same way. But they're saying black on black crime, and that's what they're focusing on. You know, black people killing black people, yet still they want to march, they want to do this, they want to do that. Okay, if they brought up the fact that white on white, then they want to march and all this and that. But it's focused on black people simply because of that. And that's just the way it is. So I don't know, but this has been a very interesting show. Do you ladies have any last minute comments you'd like to make to Nazaree?
Yes, Dr. Hines. I think I kind of understand where you're coming from in a way. All my husbands were black, but it wasn't because I didn't go out of the sphere of blackness. I just happened to, I was more comfortable with black men, even though I've been married 3 times, but everything wasn't their fault. I had a little bit to do with that too. So there are some fabulous black men. In fact, my husband that I have now, that we've been married 22 years, is a saint. I wish I could have met him 30 years ago. Really, where was he? Oh, that's right. He was married to someone else. But I finally, God, thank you. Finally got the right one, and all I can say is I don't care if he's Jewish, if he's black, if he's Oriental, I don't care what he is. If he treats you like a queen, that's the one for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And this has been very interesting to me.
Yes. Jay, do you have any closing remarks for Nazaree? Jade? She must, excuse me, have her mute button on. But this has been a very interesting and enlightening show. So the listeners out there, hopefully you are listening and, you know, take something away from this show. Nazaree, do you mind telling people how they can get in touch with you and how they can order your book?
The book is available on Amazon and Kindle. And I also have a fan page on Facebook.
Oh. Okay, you want to give out that URL for them, for your fan page on Facebook?
Oh, I don't have it on hand right now.
Okay. Well, what is the, when they go to Amazon, what are they looking for?
Well, on Amazon, if they just type in the name of the book.
Okay. Okay, all right. Well, like I said, everybody, this has been a very, very informative and enlightening evening this evening with our guest, Dr. Nazaree Hines, who wrote the book, Why Every Black Woman Should Marry a Jewish Man. And it's very controversial because, you know, I guess you've heard some of the subject matter that we discussed in the book, but there is a disclaimer in the book as well, so you may want to read the book purely for entertainment, or, you know, like you may just walk away with something from the book. But nonetheless, please support Dr. Nazaree and go to her website, go to Amazon and put in her name, Nazaree Hines. That's Nazaree Hines, Hines, Why Every Black Woman Should. Pardon?
It's hyphen star, Hines star.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hyphen Hines star. Okay, you can find her book on Amazon, and she also has a fan page on Facebook. I guess
Facebook.
You can look up.
It's facebook.com/ Honey Brown with an E, Marries Jewish Man.
Oh, okay. All right. So with that being said, we're going to give you a great big round of applause for being our guest this evening. Closing remark this evening is, Nazaree, I do really appreciate you stopping by the studio and having this wonderful conversation, and, you know, wish you the best in all your endeavors and whatever you do in life. If you ever want to come back, just drop me a line, because this can be your second home. And I also would like to let everybody out there who heard tonight's show to remember that it doesn't matter what your race is, your religion, or what you do and don't believe in. As long as you can find someone that's going to treat you like the king and queen you are, then I say go for it.
Amen.
Okay. Yeah. With that being said, remember, Bringing Sexy Back is for the mature listener audience, and our subject matter is sometimes sexual, but not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life. We appreciate you, Dr. Nazareth Hines-Star, and our listening audience for, you know, stopping by tonight. And if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to me. That's gjdelicious37@gmail.com. And in the subject line, type topic or guest. And, you know, we're here every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. giving you guys the best guests and adult conversations on Blog Talk Radio. Now, remember, Bringing Sexy Back does not mean you've lost your sexy. Bringing Sexy Back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. I want to thank you, Jade. I want to thank Terry and Rhea. You know, you are my co-hosts and my listening audience. And our next week's guest is going to be a noted nonfiction author by the name of Donna Thompson. She's a seasoned true crime writer, and this show is going to be really good because it's going to be about an adult porn film star. And she wrote a book, too, titled Intended for Mature Audience. The story is very, very good. I read the book. And she's going to be on next week, which is the 21st. So come back next week and listen to that show as well. Love you guys. Be safe and have a wonderful weekend. Remember, if you're driving, don't drink. And if you're drinking, don't drive. I love talking to you guys, not about you. With that being said, love you guys and have a good night.
Thank you.
Just a minute.
Good night.
Excuse me. Hello?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Jade, are you there?
I'm here. Did she just hang up? Did she leave?
I don't know. Jade?
I'm here.
Let everybody know how to what you're doing on Blog Talk Radio and how to get in touch with you.
Oh, they can check us out every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Erotic Talk Radio, and they can check our group page out. On Facebook, Erotic Talk Radio, and they can check us out there. And
okay.
Miss Delicious is my co-host as well. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, you guys know how you can catch up with me. You can catch me on Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm just everywhere. And be sure to check out my website. That's jayjaypublishing.com. Go on and order any of my books, my latest book, Back to Zero. It's just been jumping off the shelf, so get your copy while I still have a few left before I get another order in. And, you know, you can order any of my books. You know, just go to my website, which is jjpublishing.com. I have a fan page on Facebook, facebook.com/jjpublishing. Become a member on my page. I'm also on Facebook at facebook.com/GailDeliciousJohnson. LinkedIn, I'm everywhere. Is there anything else you'd like to know about me? You can just Google Gail Delicious Johnson. With that being said, everybody have a wonderful weekend, and talk to you guys next week. Good night, Jay. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, Terry.
Good night, Miss Terry.
My knowledge got the best radio show on the internet.